After Mike Pennell was suspended by the NFL for 4 games, the status of the Green Bay Packers defensive line just grew a little more cloudy. What's going to happen to Pennell and free agent B.J. Raji? We'll ask Marcus Paff of The Score in Appleton. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the NFL Combine coming up later this week. Before we get to that, however, we have an interview to get to.
Expert interview.
We have Marcus Paff of The Score in Appleton, 95.3 FM, 1570 AM WSCO in Appleton, host of The Big One. Marcus, did I leave anything out?
No, I think you covered it, Brian.
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show.
Good to be with you, man.
I know, Marcus, that this past season was your first season hosting In the Huddle, the weekly Packers talk show syndicated statewide, co-hosting alongside offensive lineman T.J. Lang and linebacker Sam Barrington. How did that experience go?
Well, I don't want to jump into that too quick. I filled in on a couple of occasions.
Oh, okay.
Paul is still our guy, so he's anchoring that coverage on the instances that I did have a chance to sit down with the guys, so that was a lot of fun. You get a lot of interesting insight. Just being a part of the show behind the scenes week to week and watching what Justin does, it's a nice opportunity to see those guys in a different setting where they're certainly a little bit more relaxed. And I'll say this, you learn some interesting things about the game of football and the way that it operates at the NFL level.
Yeah, well, you did a really good job on the shows that I watched, so I happened to catch you and not Justin there, I guess. Anyway, you know, Marcus, the big news this past Friday, we learned that Packers defensive lineman Mike Pennell would be suspended for 4 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. How do you think that impacts his future with the team?
Well, it's really hard to say at this point, Brian, but I know that it impacts the future of the Green Bay Packers defensive line a great deal. I have to imagine that this was part of the reason that they moved so quickly in bringing a guy like Retroy Guyon back just a couple of weeks ago. And I think when that came down, we all looked at it and said, wow, okay, so Guyon is more than likely the guy over the likes of B.J. Raji, the long tenured vet, of course, has a Super Bowl with the Packers. And I, for one, looked at that and thought, just like Guyon or what he brings to the table, but I really wanted to see them try to find a way to bring Raji back, assuming that the financials were right. Well, based on what's going on with Mike Pennell now, you have to sort of scratch your head and wonder if that's still a distinct possibility. I don't think I would have said that was the case last week, but now knowing that you're going to be dealing with some depth issues right from the start, I mean, 4 games, we're talking a quarter of the season for Mike Pennell right now. And you also got Josh Boyd's coming back off of an ankle injury that kept him out of the majority of the 2015 season. There are a lot of unknowns there right now. Now, if you're looking for a positive, perhaps, and you follow along with the Journal Sentinel cover down in Milwaukee, the Packers, I know Michael Cohen had a nice piece on Christian Ringo a couple of weeks back. He might be somebody that you look to off the practice squad this year to maybe take a big step forward and step in there and give you some reps on game day. But the best that I can give you right now in terms of an answer, Brian, is that there's just a lot of unknowns, and how Ted Thompson will handle this thing remains to be seen. I will be very curious to watch and follow along, obviously, with the NFL draft as we are every year now, though, to see if defensive tackle or defensive line might actually be a position they look to address.
How do you feel about the re-signing of Latroy Guyon and the amount of money he got from the Green Bay Packers?
Well, first of all, I think it's an interesting message, right? I mean, earlier this season, we were talking a great deal about whether or not Lejoy Guyon fit that mold of, you know, quote unquote Packer people and all of the long rap sheet, the long history that he had that was brought to light by the report midseason. And you bring him back, essentially dismissing that report earlier in the year and bringing him back into the fold. Now, by all accounts, and I don't mean to bring up an old subject again, but by all accounts, he's been very clean and done a fine job for this team since coming in. But yeah, I do think it's interesting, and it's worth noting, worth pointing out that despite that past history, the Packers have still essentially looked the other way and brought him back into the fold because it is a performance-based industry at the end of the day. In terms of money and what the contract looks like, I don't have a problem with it. You're talking about a guy in his late 20s who's played pretty good football for you in the season and a half that he's been here after coming over from Minnesota. You knew that there's a possibility B.J. Raji would hit the open market and get big money elsewhere. That remains to be seen at this point. But he is a nice safety blanket, if you will. And I have to believe that the Packers look at him and say there's still room for growth there. So to bring him back at that rate, at that number of years, at the age that he's at, I think it's a pretty good deal for both he and the Green Bay Packers at this point. We'll see where he factors in. That remains to be seen, obviously, with what they do with the rest of their personnel.
Yeah, so what do you think happens to B.J. Raji here in the near future with the start of free agency now just a few weeks away?
Well, it's dependent, right? It's contingent upon whether or not he gets a big money offer from another team out there that's looking to fill a gap up front. And I'd say that that's a very high possibility that that's the case. But, you know, you also look at him this season and say, well, you know, he's coming off the injury, played very well, had some injuries throughout the year that kept him out of a few games. Maybe that combined with the fact that, you know, 30 years of age, maybe people do shy away from that a little bit. It's sort of a crapshoot at this point. If he does not get that big money offer with multiple years, and I'm talking 3 years of contracts similar to what Guyon got with Green Bay, I think the Packers would look to bring him back at the right price. But again, it's just really difficult to judge at this point without knowing what's going on or going through the minds of some of these other general managers throughout the league. Once we get a look at this thing and see if any offer sheets are in fact rolling in, you'll have a better idea. But at this point, it's one of those things where you say time will tell.
We're talking to Marcus Paff of The Score in Appleton here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Marcus, we just talked about Pinnell, Guy on Raji, and there's some amount of uncertainty with all these players, some more than others. So with the NFL Combine happening this week, how much attention do you think the Packers will be focusing on the defensive line?
Well, I'm sure they'll have an eye out on it, and this, you know, latest incident with Pinnell is probably the catalyst for that. Now, saying all that, I'm sure Ted Thompson has an eye out for a lot of different things at this combine. We've heard tight end talked about a great deal. I tend to believe that looking at the crop of tight ends coming out and where they're projected to go and what they did throughout their college careers, I guess I look at it and say, I don't think Ted Thompson's inclined to take somebody all that high in the draft if he doesn't believe they are actually worthy of being selected at that spot. You've heard Hunter Henry's name thrown around out there. Well, if it's not him, who else is it going to be? Offensive line is another spot that we've heard Ted Thompson is watching very intently when he's been at some of these collegiate postseason games like the Senior Bowl. We all know that there are a lot of guys who will have contracts coming up following this season. When you look at C.J. Lang and David Bakhtiari, and even throw some of the others in the mix there, J.C. Treader, who proved to be a very worthwhile backup for you this season when you finally did move him out to play that left tackle position. So, I mean, he's, like any season, I think he's got his eye on a few positions in particular. I'm sure that this ramped up the attention he will pay to the defensive front, but I still think at the end of the day, the offensive line and tight end are probably more pressing. Wouldn't be surprised to see Ted look to bring in some help potentially on the defensive line, maybe after cuts are made when we finally get to that season and you see some of these other guys drop off the radar. with other squads around the league. And that has been his MO over the years, as we know as well, Brad.
I don't know how much depth you want to go into this, but do you think there's any chance the Packers could address the defensive line as high as the first round of the NFL draft?
Well, never say never with Ted Thompson. I've learned that, and trying to get into the mind of Ted is not a road or a journey I'm going to take again, but it's possible. I would say that it's unlikely. That said, as we've heard him say so many times before, they draft based on the best available, and I'd say that's true for the most part. There have probably been instances you could point to and say, well, they did stretch it a little bit and look to address the need, but I don't think that will be the case in the first round. That said, I would not feel comfortable putting any money on that because, again, trying to gauge where Ted's going on any given year is just not something that I'm going to take lightly or try to get into.
Just one more question before we let you go here, Marcus. Some of the big news last week was the finalization of the Packers 2016 coaching staff. Just what stood out to you as they, you know, kind of announced those changes, made them official last week?
Well, the fact that it took a long, long time for us to get official confirmation was interesting. But I guess you look at it and you see now that they had some other things brewing behind the scenes, and they wanted to, as Mike McCarthy always does, wanted to make one big announcement about all of the changes and obviously the promotion for Luke Getsy. I think that's the thing that most people would point out to you, the fact that they are bringing back a full-time dedicated wide receivers coach. Was that the reason that this group underperformed last year? Well, I mean, you could certainly sit and debate that for a long, long time. I'd say that the Nelson injury certainly probably had a lot more to do with it than simply not having a wide receivers coach. But that all being said, you have a lot of young guys in that group, and I don't think that it can hurt, certainly, to have a little bit more full-time attention paid to them. Last season, prior to the injury, you've got a rookie in Ty Montgomery that's being asked to contribute. You've got guys in the developmental stage like Jared Aberderis, who's also trying to recover from injuries, obviously, early on in the year, and Jeff Janis, who we hear so much about in terms of natural ability, but just isn't quite there in terms of route running and what the old cliche of not being on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. So you factor all of that in, and I'll even throw Devontae Adams' name into the mix as a second-year guy this past season. Would it have been nice to have somebody there to bounce stuff off of a little bit more frequently? I tend to say yes to that. Now, having said all that, I understand that the coaches tend to work with one another. I know that Alex Van Pelt was there, and I'm not saying that he wasn't a valuable resource for them, but to bring Getsy back, if nothing else for Mike McCarthy, it eliminates something for the Mosses, the fan base, we in the media to point to and say, that's the reason you're not getting it done at wide receiver. So that's what stood out to me, I think. And the hirings, you bring in Ben Sermon to coach running back. If Eddie Lacy has a big year, he's going to be the one that reaps the rewards of Mike McCarthy perhaps telling him to quote, get into shape here at the end of the season. So interesting assistant coach, how valuable assistant coach is, how valuable are they at the end of the day? I think they're valuable. Sometimes they just might blow it out of proportion a little bit, though, too.
Marcus, thanks so much for joining us, talking especially defensive line. I think it's interesting just, you know, the news that has come down with, you know, Guyon's resigning, Pinnell's suspension, Raji at the start of free agency. Really interesting stuff. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, that sounds great, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Marcus Paff. Marcus Paff of The Score in Appleton joining us on Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to repay the favor. He's had me on his show, the big one on The Score, and glad to have him on here sharing his thoughts this time and talking some Green Bay Packers football as we continue on with the show here.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, since our last episode of Railbird Central on Friday, you know, at the close of business, of course, that's the time bad news always breaks is, you know, at the end of the day on a Friday. So everybody forgets about it over the weekend. But yeah, so, I mean, we're talking like 3:00 p.m. on Friday. the Packers announce Mike Pinnell suspended for the first four games of the 2016 season. And just some thoughts here and some things to keep in mind here. Of course, as with, you know, pretty much all suspensions in the NFL, with the exception of, you know, like an indefinite suspension, the case of like Johnny Jolly that happened a few years ago, Mike Pinnell is still going to be able to practice. He's still going to be able to take part in the off-season portion, you know, mini camp, OTAs, and then into training camp and all that. It's just when the regular season starts, he is suspended for the first four games. He can't practice then either. So, but he can in training camp and all that. So assuming the Packers keep him on the roster is, you know, how this suspension will happen. And he will be without pay. And I believe I calculated it out to be about $140,000 that Mike Pinnell will not receive as a result of this suspension. Very little is known about why this happened. The announcement, the media reports, simply so far that he was just suspended for violating the league's substance abuse policy. What substance he abused, we don't really know. In fact, it certainly could be the case where without any comment from the league or from the Packers or Pinnell himself, we don't know. And guys can be suspended simply for missing tests, not even that they've, tested positive. I doubt that's the case. I think that would be a rare, you know, instance, but I suppose if somebody wanted to hide something too, that they could, you know, purposely miss a test or things like that. But the point being, just we don't know yet, or if there's been a report, or if there's been a report in the past this half hour or something, I've missed it and we haven't heard it yet. So what we do know here, though, is that it appears as if this is official, though, because announcements about suspensions are not made until after the appeal. So with, Mike Pinnell here, he's presumably already appealed. He didn't have to appeal either. So I don't really know. All we know is that it's official in terms of it's not pending an appeal or anything like that. So he will be suspended the first four games of the 2016 season, regular season games. And, you know, I am interested to find out what it was that he was suspended for, given that he was a cancer survivor. That is right. When Mike Pinnell was a child, he did deal with a rare form of cancer that, you know, is kind of a background story on him, and that he's come back from, certainly, and obviously has played at a high level, you know, when he's now played 2 years in the NFL, to overcome that and to even make the NFL is remarkable. It's interesting, you know, you hear a lot about cancer patients smoking marijuana or using marijuana, however you ingest it. I don't know if that's the case with Mike Pinnell. It'd be interesting to find out, you know, simply from the fact that the NFL has made such a big deal about continuing to crack down on it while, other states around the nation legalize it, or decriminalize it. So that's kind of a noteworthy debate going on in the NFL. I have no clue, you know, whether that's the case. It could be a steroid for all we know. Of course, there was reports, you know, that, Mike Neal and Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews were all linked to that Al Jazeera report on doping. And there was allegations that half the team was involved in it. And I have no clue, you know, who was involved or whether that's even accurate or anything like that. But, you know, those are just some things I can throw out there in terms of, you know, what that this may be or what, you know, could it involve, you know, that's what we're left to. We're left to speculate when nobody comes out and says, you know, why the suspension happened or things like that. So if you want to blame somebody, blame the NFL, blame the Packers for not being more forthcoming about it, you know, in terms of why that may have happened. So, because, I mean, it just leaves people to wonder more or less about what happened here. I know they're trying to respect privacy, and there may be even laws about what, they may or may not be able to release, but I'll tell you what, we'll probably find out eventually here whether that comes directly from Pinnell's mouth or who. We will find out. Perhaps we'll find out at the NFL Combine later this week, which kind of leads us into the next segment here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, you know, not necessarily this Monday, but I have very little going on in the world of the Packers today because pretty much they're getting ready to leave for the NFL Combine, which begins Tuesday in Indianapolis. So it's a multi-day event. Pretty much it lasts 7 days all told. Players are there for basically 4 days. In which, you know, they arrive and it's orientation, but then there's basically like, you know, 2-3 days after that in which they do all sorts of testing, medical testing and interviews with teams, and they take the Wonderlic test and all sorts of different things and culminating. And of course, with their on field testing, with all the measurements, the 40 yard dash, the bench press, all those kind of things. Take place the final day they're there. So from starting this Tuesday until next Monday, that's going to be the talk of the NFL world, is everything that's happening at the NFL Combine. And it all starts on Tuesday in Indianapolis. Group one arrives, and we're talking group one is offensive linemen and tight ends, basically. And specialists, I believe, kickers and punters and long snappers. So it all gets underway this upcoming Tuesday, so tomorrow. And in fact, what we have for you here today on Railbird Central, a little bit of an extra for you. Last week I published a feature on Northern Iowa cornerback or defensive back DeAndre Hall, who is an NFL draft prospect. He participated in the Senior Bowl. He's played both safety and cornerback at Northern Iowa, and kind of unsure as to what he'll play in the pros yet. But we talked to him about that and all sorts of other topics, seeing as the NFL Combine starts tomorrow and DeAndre Hall will be participating in it. I thought the timing was appropriate here, in which we can give you a little bit of an extra, you know, kind of NFL Combine preview here, because also, this will be the last episode for the remainder of the week. There will be no Railbird Central Wednesday or Friday because I will be in Indianapolis covering the NFL Combine and pretty much do not have time to do live episodes of Railbird Central in the morning. I'll be there writing and reporting, and hopefully, you know, our coverage at 24/7 Sports will make up for it. So enjoy this, an exclusive interview with NFL draft prospect DeAndre Hall of Northern Iowa. He'll be at the NFL Combine, and we talked to him last week. Here you go. Enjoy. I'm hoping it's going to kick in here any second, I hope.
Okay, DeAndre.
There we go.
You know, coming from Northern Iowa, were you surprised you got an invitation to the Senior Bowl, considering you came from a smaller school?
No, not at all. You know, that was one of my goals throughout college, was to get that invite to the Senior Bowl, one of the bigger bowl games. You know, David Johnson, previous year, had got an invite and did really well. So I thought I could bring upon myself to execute my senior year to be able to receive that prestigious invite.
Yeah, have you talked to David at all, kind of asked him for any advice along the way?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, we have the same agent, so me and David definitely stay in contact with each other, but You know, he said just work hard, man. That's the main thing. You know, David's a different kind of guy. He's a different type of workhorse. So getting that type of lowdown information, you know, from a guy like him is huge to me, you know. And if a guy like him who really truly does work hard day in and day out says, okay, this is what you have to do, then, you know, you listen, you do that, you know.
Definitely, and he had a good, very good rookie season in the NFL. So do you think, though, that the jump in competition helped you at all during the week of the Senior Bowl?
No, I wasn't too worried about competition. The only thing I would say is, you know, I'm a film guy, so going up against a random receiver, you know, without any film or previous knowledge of them, you know, besides the, you know, their highlights, is kind of different. But no, you know, definitely help. I think I held my own and hold my own against anybody. It's just all about that mentality you have when you step up to that line.
Is there anything you learned in particular that week? Something you kind of could be able to take away and apply to your game going forward?
Oh, for sure. You know, working with the Cowboys and Coach Joe Baker, you know, he just told me all throughout the week, be patient at that line, at the at point of attack. You know, me being a longer corner, you know, you got to use your strengths. And my strength is, one of my strengths is having my longer arm, you know. So just being patient at that line and that point of attack and keeping my my tail low and my pedal in and out of my brakes was huge throughout that week at the Senior Bowl. So that's definitely something I'll take with me. You know, I've brought that back with me to training out here at Stars in Anaheim with Jason David. And that's been one of my main focus points, you know, throughout training, getting ready for the combine.
What were your impressions of the Cowboys coaching staff and Jason Garrett?
They were great throughout the week, you know. I think one of the big things that they really focus on special teams, you know, and coming from a smaller school, you know, I've pretty much played every special teams position, so being able to do that at the next level is going to be huge, and Coach Garrett, you know, was, I think that was one of his biggest staples throughout that week was special teams. That's something we really worked on hard.
You know, you mentioned one of your strengths being, you know, those long arms. Do you think your size and your length are kind of like your best quality?
I mean, from first look, of course, but, you know, knowledge of the game and getting in that film room is also a huge thing. I think that kind of goes overlooked, you know. During the game week, you know, you start out on that Monday, start game planning, and you build up. It's that week is all build up, you know, and you're getting that film in and you're studying your opponent, and that's huge. So that's probably the main thing for me is studying my opponent.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any preference about where you'll play, either cornerback or safety? Because you did both at Northern Iowa.
Right. You know, I prefer corner. Definitely see myself as a corner, but I definitely wouldn't be obliged to putting on 10 pounds of muscle and going back there to safety.
Did you get any indication from teams where that you met at the Senior Bowl where they'd like to see you?
You know, some teams would ask about safety. Some teams would ask about corner, but the most frequently asked question, you know, is where do you feel most comfortable at? What do you see yourself as? So, like I said, corner was definitely what I see myself as. But, again, like I said, definitely wouldn't be obliged to putting on a few pounds and a muscle and going back there to that safety position.
Is there any player in the NFL you kind of model your game after?
You know, I really like Tillman. I love Tillman's game, you know. And just the ball hawk and how he gets after the game, you know, after the ball is huge to me. And, you know, I love Pat P's game, but he's more of a real tight-knit cover corner, you know. So I kind of kind of try to mimic some of the things that I see those guys do, you know, those big man guys. But those are two definitely. Also, you know, little Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. he does a little bit of everything. So
you're a lot bigger than him, though.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, him being so versatile, you know, he has great hips and can get in out of his breaks like the best. You know, he is one of the best. So I definitely try and mimic some of those things from those guys.
Yep. So you said you're at one of the speed camps out in California. I mean, are you focusing on the 40 or, you know, what's your focus out there?
My main focus is just getting better, you know. I know I have to go through this combine stuff and test these drills and test really well, you know, but 40 is definitely one of the bigger focuses of my time out here in California, you know. Getting that 40 time down as slow as possible, but as fast as possible, you know. And that's really the main goal. A fast 40 determines a lot of things.
Do you have a goal in mind, a time?
No, I personally want to get a 4.49 and anything lower.
Very good. Are you an Iowa native?
No, not at all.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, so did you grow up a Chiefs fan?
Yeah. originally from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. So you're out on the East Coast then. You know, I cover the Packers, DeAndre. I got to ask, did you meet with the Packers while you were at the Senior Bowl?
You know, can't really speak on that, but just really can't speak on that.
They don't want you to know, huh? Or that they, yeah. I mean, how many teams though did you meet with? Like, have like you know, formal interviews with? Just looking for a number.
Definitely double digits. You know, definitely an overwhelming experience, but it was definitely a great experience there at the Senior Bowl. You know, never been one guy to get interviewed. You know, quite as much. You know, coming from a lower level. Shouldn't even say a lower level. Come from D1AA. It's not a lower level.
Yeah.
But come from D1AA. You know, you don't get that attention like that. So that was definitely a hectic time. But you know, I definitely thought I handled myself pretty well.
Very good. Just one more question before I let you go. You had another teammate, if I'm correct, a cornerback at Northern Iowa who played out at the NFLPA Bowl.
Mackinson Dorleyard. Yeah.
I mean, so that's, you know, pretty darn good for a 1AA team to have two cornerbacks to go in the, you know, possibly the NFL. What do you like about his game?
He's a dog. You know, he's a dog. And that's plain and simple. You know, he definitely brings a different aspect to the game, especially at cornerback, because you gotta have a mentality of, you're not going to beat me, you know, every play. You got to have that mentality at cornerback. And even if that is the case, you get beat, you got to come right back, you know. So with Magnuson, his speed is great. I mean, I've personally never seen somebody run so fast and get in and out of their breaks the way he can. So, you know, we definitely mimicked each other's game a little bit there at our time at Northern Iowa. But definitely blessings for him. And I hope for the best for him.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, some of the big schools don't have as good a cornerback tandem as you guys had, so that's impressive. But DeAndre, I wish you all the best of luck. Good luck at the combine. Good luck in the draft. Good luck in everything. And thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
Yeah, I'll pass along the article to JR so he can pass it along. Thanks to DeAndre Hall of joining us here on Railbird Central in a previously recorded segment. So enjoy the combine, folks. Enjoy our combine coverage at 24/7 Sports. I'll be there from Wednesday through Saturday, bringing you all sorts of features and news. And, you know, Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson are going to speak, I believe, on Thursday. They're going to hold their press conferences. So we'll have all sorts of stuff coming out of Indianapolis this week. So look forward to that. And we'll see you next Monday here at Railbird Central. So several days off here, but we'll be back a week. And hopefully I'll have all sorts of audio and stuff, and we'll have more interviews with players and things like that. So looking forward to it. And we'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. Have a good week. And enjoy the NFL Combine. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do us a solid and do that, we'd really greatly appreciate it. Helps us get word out about the show. But like I said, have a good Monday, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.